time. Only one more week before your Jewish Experience radio program celebrates its first anniversary. So save the date, February 3rd at 3 p.m. right here on AM 81 WEDO Radio. We'll have some fun remembering the earlier shows, some bloopers, and looking ahead to our Terrible Twos, where we will really be stepping out and bringing you the cutting edge in Jewish news and entertainment. Hi, I'm Herschel Lynn. It's Parshas Vayera. God reveals himself to Moshe, Moses, and he tells him he'll take the Jews out of Egypt, deliver them from being slaves, redeem them, and acquire them as his own people, and then bring them into the land he promised them. This is the Parsha in the Torah where the classic battle of wits begins with Moses and Pharaoh. It starts out with both sides scoring even points, but as the plagues get more complicated, Pharaoh and his magicians can't keep up, and you'll have to wait till next week to find out who wins. Kind of like a warm-up to the Super Bowl. Steelers and Seahawks, Moshe and Pharaoh. I'll put my money on Moses and the Steelers. And speaking of winning, you won't find a more winning staff who have worked hard to bring you another award-winning show. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, Mr. Vohr DeLin, Chef Chaim Reisner, and of course, Musical Moish. We'll be right there with you, getting you in the mood for yet another exciting Shabbat weekend. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up on the half hour. And in the second half of the program today is an exciting interview with Victor Mordechai, an expert in Islamic thought, who reveal the real plans of the Islamists and how we'll have to deal with them. He lives in Israel, but he's currently on a speaking tour in the U.S. The program today is sponsored in part by Ed Kramer of Kramer's Windows, by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, by Next Generation Financial Services when you need money, you're 62 and you don't want to pay it back, and Artistic Photography when you want to get it right the first time. By the way, they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. Candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:14 p.m. So, Moishele, you caught up in all this Steelers mania?
Well, actually, being a London boy, I must tell you...
Who are we rooting for?
That we grew up playing the game of cricket.
Squash or cricket?
Cricket. Have you heard of that game?
Yeah, we squish them. I feed them to my arowana fish.
And then my parents one day woke up and said, Moishe, we are moving to America.
America?
America.
We're coming to
and
America.
And so on and so forth. And then before you know it, somehow we ended up here in Pittsburgh.
The Berg.
And then this Steeler thing.
That's it. You became an immediate Steeler fan.
I don't know. But what I do know is that soon it's our anniversary show.
Ho, ho, ho.
And we'll all be good to go.
Oh, not again. Getting
with
us through.
Cuts and selections.
Oh, more cuts.
And all things nice.
Okay, good. Let's hear one. You got one for us?
I'm ready for the anniversary show. I don't know about you.
I've been ready, and I hope you're ready with your cuts.
Isn't that amazing? We've spent 1 year together here at this.
I know. It's about time.
Microphone.
It's unbelievable. All right.
All right. Let's get you going here. It's Erev Shabbos.
Blow my ears off here.
What a wedding album with the Mashiach melody. You're good to go right here on the J.E.
very much.
Yeah, thank you, thank you. You know, that reminds me, sometimes we introduce the, you know, the Chassan and Kala, if they're coming for the grand dance.
Oh, the grand wedding.
The grand wedding. That's how we do it.
All right, that sounds good. Speaking of weddings, here's Rabbi Meir Goldwasser to talk about something happened prior to the wedding of the Jewish people, which is when we were down in Egypt. And this has to do with the warmth and vitality of Torah as opposed to the coldness of the Nile River.
In every age, in any situation, the Torah, both in its legal and narrative portions, teaches us vital lessons to be applied in our daily lives. Indeed, the word Torah itself comes from the Hebrew word meaning teaching. Even those stories that describe situations and events which could not possibly occur in our times, nevertheless contain instructive messages to all of us, for Torah is eternal. Such is the case with regard to all narratives of the Torah, but much more so in the case of the stories relating to Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. For there can and should be a spiritual exodus from Egypt in the daily religious life of each person. The liberation of the spiritual from its confinement within the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. Hence the command to remember the exodus each and every day. Thus, every detail of the Torah's account of the physical exodus contains directives to us regarding our own spiritual Yetzias Mitzrayim. One such significant detail is the first plague with which Hashem broke the proud spirit of Paro and his people, the plague of blood, in which the waters of the Nile River were turned to blood. In order to understand the significance of the plague of blood, the following introduction is necessary. Hashem is the ultimate source of all life. Hence, everything associated with godliness and holiness has vitality and life, which are characterized by warmth. Coldness, on the other hand, is the mark of the grave. It is the very antithesis of life, and therefore the very opposite of holiness. The idolatry of Egypt, the basic evil of their culture, was coldness, the icy indifference to Hashem. This was symbolized by the cold waters of the Nile River, which the Egyptians worshipped as a god. The very first step, therefore, towards breaking the spirit of Egypt and towards freedom from the Egyptian exile was to strike at the waters of the river, the deathly coldness, and convert it to blood, symbolizing warmth, life, and vitality. The lesson for our own spiritual Yetzias Mitzrayim is that the very first undesirable trait against which we must struggle is the coldness, indifference, and apathy to our religion. It is a false notion that one can remain indifferent to God's Torah on the one hand and yet refrain actually from doing evil. An icy indifference to Yiddishkeit eventually leads one to the moral corruption of Egypt. The approach to religion must be one of warmth, interest, and enthusiasm.
I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. And now, back to the music with Moshe Papaw. Thank you.
דברי שיר, דברי שיר. כיסו שלונו סויבנו
selection was Divrei Shir with Udi Ullman, straight out of the Holy Land.
Now get ready for a five-part series on immigration to America by the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and here's part one. Rabbi?
Immigration to America, part one. Between 1880 and 1924, 4 million Jews left Eastern Europe, and more than 3 million of them came to the United States. This emigration represented the greatest movement of Jews since the Spanish expulsion in 1492, and was a major turning point in Jewish history. The vast majority of Jews in America today are descendants of those immigrants. However, fully two-thirds of Eastern Europe's Jews chose to remain at home. Many of them were religious Jews, who despite the terrible persecution and poverty, led a spiritually satisfying life, and who regarded America as impossibly profane. Later, when some of these religious Jews did go, it was in large measure because their children went. Orthodox Jews were never a major part of the immigrants. In addition, assimilated Jews and the small number of affluent Jews also chose to stay. Although oppression and pogroms played a major role in influencing Jews to leave Europe, they were by no means the only reasons why Jews left. Jews departed even in years without pogroms and from nations that did not experience anti-Jewish violence, such as the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Jewish emigration must be understood in the context of the time. The entire continent of Europe was on the move. 30 million Europeans came to the New World from 1880 to 1924. Jews and non-Jews emigrated to America largely for economic reasons, to escape the grinding poverty of the Old World and to provide a better future for their children. In the case of the Jews, this physical advancement came at the cost of spiritual growth. Jewish immigration differed from that of non-Jews in several ways. First, the Jewish migration was much more a movement of families than that of other European nationalities and groups. Children comprised nearly 25% of the Jewish population, but only 12% of the total immigration, both Jewish and non-Jewish. Second, Jewish immigration was directed more toward permanent settlement in the United States than was that of other European groups. Despite the hardships, nearly 95% of all Jews who came to America decided to stay. Overall, only two-thirds of all immigrants remained in the United States. Third, the Jewish migration contained a higher proportion of skilled workers from urban environments than that of any other group. In particular, tailors were highly represented. Consequently, Jews were better able to cope with American urban life, particularly in New York City, than most other immigrants. Fourth, other nationalities came as individuals. The Italians, for example, came from their own independent nation. Individual Italians might be desperate, but not the Italians as a people. Of the Jews, however, it could almost be said that a whole people was in flight.
Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Israel National News.
Hamas wins elections. I'm Malka Fleischer. Hamas taking the local Arab population, Israel, and the international community by storm with a landslide victory over rival faction Fatah in Palestinian Legislative Council elections Thursday. Hamas winning a stunning 76 seats compared to an embarrassing 43 for Mahmoud Abbas's ruling Fatah party. While pollsters and analysts expected Hamas to fare relatively well in Thursday's vote, Fatah had been predicted to be the winner. The now ruling power, Hamas, an Arabic acronym for Islamic Resistance Movement, was founded by Islamic militant extremists in the Gaza Strip in 1988, this shortly after the start of the First Intifada. Between the First and Second Intifadas, Hamas responsible for 180 murders through terrorist violence. Starting in September 2000, after the start of the current Second Intifada, known commonly as the Temple Mount War, Hamas brutally murdering another 377 in Israel. One of the primary clauses of the popular Islamic organization's charter stating, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. When the new Palestinian Legislative Council meets for the first time, a whopping 11% of the members are likely to be absent from the proceedings. This because 14 security prisoners in Israeli jails are believed to have been elected to the 132-seat parliament, while one inmate of a Palestinian prison was also successful. Of some 9,000 Palestinian Arabs serving time in Israeli jails, 31 running for office this election season, with the most important being Fatah's Marwan Barghouti and Yesha-area Hamas leader Sheikh Hassan Yosef. Barghouti's placement at the head of his party's list all but guaranteeing him a seat, although his public intervention in the election via television interviews earlier this week appearing to have had little bearing on the results. Barghouti is serving 5 life sentences for his involvement in terrorist attacks that killed 5 innocent civilians. The Palestinian business community reacting with concern on Thursday that a Hamas-led government will bring an end to economic aid and foreign investment, as the Palestinian Securities Exchange having its worst day in 4 years on news of the Palestinian election results. The PSE dropping the maximum possible to 1,022. The exchange doesn't allow stocks to fluctuate more than 5% in a day's session. The PSE had a bumper year in 2005 as the index rose by 306%, bringing its market capitalization to around $4.5 billion. The PA receiving about half of its annual budget from international aid, amounting to approximately $500 million. The majority of that money coming from the United States and the European Union. As pre-election polls started to indicate a possible Hamas victory over Fatah, the U.S. warning the Palestinian Authority that the likelihood would jeopardize continuing U.S. aid. The EU also recently indicating that a Hamas victory would cause it to reconsider its financial support to the PA. What does Moses have to do with King Arthur? Find out on Temple Talk with Rabbi Chaim Richman and Yitzhak Reuven at www.israelnationalradio.com. In weather, unseasonably cold temperatures expected to continue through the Sabbath with precipitation. Sunday's forecast calling for partly cloudy skies and a continuation of the unseasonably cold temperatures with an increase in temperatures expected on Monday. I'm Malka Fleischer, Israel National Radio.
And we'd like to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And now it's time for the Mazel Tovs. Murray and Elvira Pfeffer on the bar mitzvah of their grandson,
and
the marriage of their granddaughter.
Wow, mazel tov.
Heavy
beautiful.
Duty stuff.
Wonderful.
Yet a savage on the engagement of her grandson.
Lovely, mazel tov.
And finally, Carol Lederer on the engagement of her daughter Pamela to Michael Hellman.
Amen, mazel tov.
Now let's take a look at events around the community. Monday at 9:30 a.m. and also at 7:30 p.m. have a real special treat at Rolladin Restaurant. You always have treats at Rolladin, but this time you're going to have a special speaker. Rich Walters, the Ninju, is going to be speaking about how an ordinary Jew can be a superstar. It's going to be very entertaining, very motivating, very exciting, and a lot of fun. A lot of comedy involved as well. So you don't want to miss it. Rich Walters, Monday, 9:30 a.m. or 7:30 p.m. at Rolladin Restaurant in Squirrel Hill on Murray Avenue. The Mikey Butler Foundation will be sponsoring a free lecture in honor of Mikey's second Yahrzeit. That's this Tuesday, January 31st at the Jewish Community Center, 7 p.m., entitled Ethical Challenges of Organ Transplantation. Robert Berman will be the speaker. He's the founder and director of the Halachic Organ Donor Society. And the Worldwide Rap and Ben Huda Street Fair at Beth Shalom Synagogue, February 5th, from 9 to 11. You can learn to put on tefillin. 11 to 1 is the fair with food, fun, and Israeli dancing. The Judaic Library of Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays, 12 to 4:30, Wednesdays, 3 to 4, and 7 to 8, and 1 hour after Shabbos for 2 hours. Stop in and check out a book or two. Use the extensive research volumes available. The Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning, 2740 Beechwood Boulevard. You can call the Kollel for more information at 412-420-0220. The Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program at the Pittsburgh Kollel this Shabbos at 7:30 p.m. for boys in grades 1 to 8, pizza and prizes. And, of course, they're still doing construction, so they ask that you use the rear entrance. The Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at the Olive Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. This program is a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. For more information, call Ilan at 412-422-2224. And also a very special announcement, March 6th and 7th, there'll be a very special Yeshiva Girls High School production of Shalom Song, which is an inspiring story of faith and determination. And for ticket information, you can call 412-422-7300, extension 1311. I want to give them a call. I understand it's an incredible production that they're putting together over there. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:14 p.m. And we'd like to welcome to the program this evening Avi Lipkin, otherwise known as Victor Mordechai, who is an expert on Islamic relations and what's happening in the world of Islam. Avi, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Great to be on your show. Shalom.
Shalom. And you understand you're making a tour through the U.S. speaking?
Yes, I've been in the United States a week. I have about another 8 weeks to go, and then I go back home to Israel.
Great. And your basic thesis now is that Islam poses the greatest threat ever to Judeo-Christian Western civilization. Can you explain that?
Okay. Well, firstly, you know that Nazism wanted to conquer the world and kill all the Jews. Islam wants to conquer the world, kill all the Jews, kill all the Christians, kill all the Hindus, kill all the Buddhists. And then when the 1/6 of the human race, the Muslims, have killed 5/6 of the human race, and they're left alone on the earth, and they kill each other, because, of course, the Shiites and the Sunnis kill each other.
Right.
So it is a murderous system. I don't call Islam a religion. Mm-hmm. I call it a psychosis. It is a madness. And, of course, the first to go have to be the Jews, and this is the plan of Islam. My wife is a Sephardic Jewess from Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
Her work the last 25 years is to monitor the radio broadcasts in Arabic of our neighbors, and she gets the craziest things every day listening to what they say. And the Israeli government will not let the Israeli people know what the Muslims are really saying in Arabic. But my wife gives it to me every day, and then I use it when I give lectures in the United States.
It's so hard to understand. Based on that, and based on Hamas and the elections coming out, I guess, behind Fatah today, but also gaining power through that process, and those being basically Muslim, how do you see any kind of negotiations with any kind of situation over there?
Okay, well, firstly, I saw a week ago, I was in Israel, just before I got on the plane, my wife and I were watching Al Jazeera in raw live footage in Arabic. Now, of course, Arabic is my wife's tongue. This was not shown, it was not translated in Hebrew for the Israelis. But the Palestinian security chief, Jibril Rajoub, who's with the Fatah, with the PLO,
mm-hmm.
Has three brothers who are very active, very high up in the Hamas. And so politically, they are opponents. And the Al Jazeera interviewer asked him, well, you know, will there be a civil war between the different Palestinian factions? What's going to happen if the Hamas wins? What will your brothers do to you because you're in the Fatah.
Right.
And Jabril Rajoub's answer was, don't worry, nothing bad is going to happen because we, Hamas, and Fatah will work together to fight Israel to the finish, and we are united.
Yeah, I think they are. So what's the whole roadmap business? I mean, where do you see that taking Israel? I mean, don't they understand that the way is through this negotiation is really a sign of weakness?
Okay, well, not only that. The roadmap to peace, so-called, is basically the Saudi peace plan of 1990, mm-hmm. which basically calls for Israel to withdraw to the borders of June the 5th, 1967. And even the United Nations, which was never pro-Israel, agreed that returning to the June 5th, 67 borders would be suicide for Israel, that Israel would not be able to defend itself. And UN resolutions 242 and 338 call on negotiations so that Israel will have secure, recognized, and defensible borders.
Right.
And for me, those borders are the borders today of Israel, and of course, unfortunately, Gaza, which we no longer have. For me and for my Israeli army spokesman training, it's like the Dutch boy pulling his finger out of the dike.
Mm-hmm.
Israel cannot withdraw from the Jordan River. Israel cannot withdraw from the Golan Heights. And we already see the folly of withdrawing from Gaza.
But is Islam, in any case, based on your research, no matter what they say or what they do, they're still bent only on what? Total destruction. Is that correct?
Total destruction. The only difference between Fatah and Hamas is, you know, in Israel we have a group called Peace Now. Hamas is destroy Israel now. Fatah is destroy Israel tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just a slower way to do it. So what do you see? I mean, how do you, based on, again, your research, how should Israel be fighting this this threat at this time?
Well, you know, my approach is a very unique approach because nobody else is doing what I'm doing to preach in the Christian churches to the Christians. But I say that if we have 50 to 100 million Christians worldwide standing with us firmly, and if we welcome these Christians instead of hating them, like what happened with Pat Robertson last week,
right.
2 weeks ago when he spoke about Sharon's stroke or cerebral hemorrhage being punishment from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote an article defending him
mm-hmm.
in the Israel Today magazine in which I said, hey, listen, Psalm 137 says, Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach mini.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its cunning, may my tongue cleave to its palate if I don't place Jerusalem above my chiefest joy. And, you know, what is losing the cunning of your right hand or your tongue cleaving to its palate? It is a stroke. It is a cerebral hemorrhage.
Hmm.
And indeed, you know, Rabin was taken out by a bullet from a man, but what happened to Sharon was not from man, it was from God. And so we just, you know, it's very clear for anyone who has eyes to see.
And I think that what he said was on a lot of people's minds anyway, and he just happened to be the one to say it. Well, we're out of time, and I do appreciate you being with us. I do want to let everybody know a couple of things. First of all, if you'd like to know more about Victor Mordechai and his work, you can go to www.vicmord.com. Vic Mord. .com. And also, he is available to speak at your church or synagogue. And Avi, I appreciate you being with us. Thank you very much.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
And now, back to the music with Moshe Papal.
Soup and challah candlesticks, kiddushin is delicious. Every Shabbat meal we eat is really quite nutritious. Can I have some chicken served on Ima's special dishes? Soup and challah candlesticks, kiddushin is delicious. When I was a little boy, I felt really glad. I'd look forward to Shabbat meals, cause every one I had would be a great experience and put me in the know. Listen to the singing and you think you're at a show. Hey! Soup and challah candlesticks, kiddushin is delicious. Every Shabbat meal we eat is really quite nutritious. Can I have some chicken served on Ima's special dishes? Soup and challah candlesticks, kiddushin is delicious. Guests would come and go, each Shabbat meal was heaven sent. I hear words of Torah and it really made a dent. So now that I am older, I can do the same, you see. With my wife and children, there's no place I'd rather be. Hey! Soup and challah candlesticks, kiddushin is delicious. Every Shabbat meal we eat is really quite nutritious. Can I have some chicken served on Ima's special dishes? Soup and challah candlesticks, kiddushin is delicious. You know, we're not singing it in the right order, which is candlesticks, kiddush, challah, and soup. But then the
song wouldn't work now, would it?
I'm afraid not.
So look forward to the Sabbath each and every day, cause observing it real well can help Mashiach come our way. Take the day for resting and it will improve your life.
For example...
Yes?
Shabbat really changed my world. For my kids and my wife, it's great for me and you.
Soup and challah candlesticks, Kedushin is delicious. Soup and challah candlesticks, Kedushin is delicious. Soup and challah candlesticks, Kedushin is delicious. Soup and challah candlesticks, Kedushin is delicious.
Now here's Deborah DeLynn to show us how Hashem keeps balance in the world by rewarding us measure for measure. Deborah?
Ma rabu ma'asecha Hashem, how great and numerous are the doings of Hashem. Every single day we see the wonders of Hashem, some small things and others great. Did you ever go to the aquarium and see an orca perform a backflip? Did you ever go to the mountains and see the sunset? These are definitely times when one is in awe of the miracles that go on every day. This week's Parsha, which is full of miracles, is Parshas Va'era, which means, "And I appeared." Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu and told him to go down to Egypt and take the Jewish people out of slavery. After much argument, Moshe agrees to go. Paro, of course, does not wish to let his slaves go, not when he gets so much work out of them. As punishment, Hashem brings the 10 plagues upon the Egyptian people and makes them suffer terribly. Each of these plagues were a miraculous thing that only happens once since the creation of the world. Also, each of these plagues were punishing the Egyptians measure for the things that they did against the Jews. Each one has a unique lesson that we can learn. The second plague was the affliction of the frogs, Makas Tsardeya. The plague of the frogs was completely miraculous. There were giant frogs that attacked the people's homes and drove the people nuts with their croaking, and there were tiny little ones that went inside the Egyptians' bodies and jumped around, causing much pain. They came out of the Nile River because the Egyptians believed that the river was a god and worshipped it. Now Hashem is showing them that He is in control of the Nile and there is nothing else in charge aside from Him. There are many reasons why they got punished with frogs. One reason is because they had forced the Jews to capture frogs and other reptiles with their bare hands. Another reason is because Paro extinguished the sound of Torah learning. The Jews used to get up early to learn, and he destroyed that by making them work so hard. So instead of the sweet melody of learning, the sound of the Jews crying to Hashem to relieve them of their suffering permeated the air. Furthermore, when the Jewish mothers were giving birth, they couldn't make a noise, because if they did, the officers would hear them and take the infants away. When someone is hurt and cannot express their pain, the agony is doubled. As just punishment, the Egyptians had to listen to the deafening croaking of the frogs. Try as they might, they couldn't kill the pests. Whenever they would stomp on one frog, it would burst, and a dozen more frogs would come out of its stomach. A complete miracle. And since the Jews weren't permitted to wash their hands before their meals, they had to eat while their hands were filthy from their labors. As punishment, the Egyptians' food was full of filthy frogs. Paro was singled out for special punishment here. When Sarah Imenu, Sarah, our matriarch, came to Egypt, the Pharaoh at the time fell in love with her. When he realized he couldn't touch her, he commissioned a craftsman to build a lifelike mannequin of her. When that pharaoh died, his successors also made use of this mannequin. The Midrash states that whenever he wanted amusement, he would take this mannequin and distract himself. During the plague of the frogs, the verse says that Paro went to his chambers and ignored the whole thing. However, the frogs were so bad that they came into his room, and he couldn't even reach the mannequin as punishment for embarrassing Sarah. The Egyptians had committed so many misdeeds, so many sins, and each was punished through a small green frog. Of course, we know that this whole episode was miraculous, but still, the sheer awesomeness is extraordinary. This clearly illustrates to us the importance of every little mitzvah, from concern for another's pain to the washing of hands before a meal. Hashem punished the Egyptians harshly for trying to stop us from doing them. If small frogs are aware of the significance of every mitzvah, how much more so should we? Have a good Shabbos.
Hello, Bubby.
Yeah, this is your Einickel the Big Knacker speaking. Was machst du, Bubby, siehste?
Ich soll kennen, wie? Die Geist kochen, wo?
Oh, Bubby, you know what I like.
A Shabbos-Tisch mit gefilter Fisch in der little Chrein on the side. Some jolt in the pot. I cool the nice and hot.
Oh, it makes me warm inside. Ay, ay, ay. Then the whole of chissing snail with prey and dicken boys with regular and the chips and the chicken. Mach the house up, you so flicken. Can we drink in all the kind? Do the gutters in Shamayim? Yo, yo. Oh, Bobby, that
Catch but I like. So, Bobby, was hält sich mit der Seite? No. Yeah? No. Yeah? Yeah? No. Kacke, hat verloren der Pain. Oh ja, bruch. Nu, hast du denn etwas ein bisschen Gitter? Nice. Oh, Bobby, you know what I like. A Shabbos Tisch mit gefüllter Fisch in a little ring an die Seite. Some Jolens in der Pot in a Kugel nice and hot. Oh, it makes me warm inside. Ja, 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 wenn der Cholder just a Knäble drehen sich im Beuch wird reulich in der Zimmer sind der Chicken macht da auch ein bisschen trinken können trinken alle Chaim durch die Gottes sind schon mein. Ja, ja, oh, Bobby, that's what I like. Tell me, Bobby, what time is left, Menschen? 20 to 8? Und gib mir spät? Oh, ich meinst du den Mann verklappen zu kacken, also ich schnell fuhren, also ich warte mich auf Vollbein. Okay, Bobby, you know what I like. A Shabbos Tisch mit gefüllter Fisch in a little Chareim an die Seite. Some Jolens in der Pot in a Kugel nice and hot. Oh, it makes me warm inside, yeah.
Don't forget, for your favorite selections, you can email me, Moshe Picard, at keyplayer@hotmail.com.
That was hot, but I'll tell you something else that's hotter than that. Here he comes. It's time for...
Oh, yeah.
That prince of gastronomic delights. Here he is, Chef Chaim Reisner.
Thanks, Hirsch. I'd like to add one of our favorite family recipes. It's called Super Chicken. You need 2 cups of flour, 2 chickens cut up into 16 pieces, 10 washed mushrooms sliced thin, 1/3 cup of Spanish or Vidalia onion sliced thin, and 1/4 cup of sliced smoked turkey breast, chop that. 2 cups of white or red wine, dry. 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil. 1 tablespoon of salt, preferably sea salt. 1 teaspoon of fresh ground black pepper. And 3 cups of chicken stock. Using a large frying or saute pan, dust the chicken well, shake the flour off, and then brown the chicken on all sides. After it's completely browned, remove and set aside. Pour off most of the oil, and then add your onions and sauté for 2 minutes. Add the chopped smoked turkey, sauté for a few more minutes. Add the wine and reduce to half. Then add the chicken stock and bring to a simmer. Place the chicken back into the pot. Add the mushrooms, the salt, and the pepper. Cover and simmer for 30 to 40 minutes until tender. Take that out and set it in a serving dish with a cover. Now for the fresh sautéed greens. You'll use either collards or the rabe or Swiss chard. Soak them in salt water for at least 1/2 hour. Rinse them off and put them in a large pot with about 1/3 pot of water and steam them for at least 1/2 hour until they're tender. Take them out and drain them. Squeeze them so all the water is out. Chop them finely. You'll need 3 fresh cloves of garlic smashed and 1/2 cup of extra virgin olive oil, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of ground black pepper, and 1/4 teaspoon of nutmeg, and 1 tablespoon of brown sugar. After you have simmered the greens, put them back in the pot, add the oil and all the spices, toss it well, add your sugar, simmer them for at least 5 minutes, remove and set in a covered bowl, and serve that with your chicken dish. Have a great Shabbos, and we'll see you next week.
I don't have to tell you, utility rates are expected to rise this winter, and it's not too late to save money by reducing your utility bills by installing new energy-saving windows. Call Kramer Windows, your neighborhood window contractor, with many business and residential references in the Jewish community. I've known Ed for many years, and the people that have benefited by his windows rave about the money they save due to the high cost of energy today and the great service Ed provides. Ed Kramer says, do a room or do the whole house. You'll be pleasantly surprised at the impact new energy-saving windows will make on your utility bills. And guess what? He offers free estimates. He says, our low overhead means the best prices anywhere. Call Ed today at 412-848-2262 to schedule a visit. That's 412-848-2262. Do it today before your next utility bill makes you wish you did it today. That's 412-848-2262. Ed Kramer, Kramer Windows. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender. Now here's Rabbi Meir Goldwasser with a story about how powerful the prayers of a simple Jew are. Rabbi?
In the years before he went public with his teachings and founded the Hasidic movement, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov would often wander about the countryside where the Jews of Eastern Europe lived in isolated hamlets. Rabbi Yisrael would mingle with these Jews, drawing inspiration from their simple faith and dispensing words of encouragement in turn. One day, the Baal Shem Tov arrived at a small crossroads inn, many miles distant from the nearest Jewish community. He was warmly invited in and served a refreshment by the innkeeper's family. Where is your father? He asked the children. He's praying, they replied, and Rabbi Yisrael settled down to wait for his host. An hour passed, then two. It was late afternoon by the time the innkeeper emerged from his room. After greeting his guest, he apologized for his long absence. I am an unlearned person, he explained shamefacedly. I can barely pronounce the words from the prayer book, and deciphering its instructions, written in vowelless Hebrew, is beyond me. So I have no choice but to recite the entire prayer book, from cover to cover, every day. Perhaps I can be of assistance to you, said Rabbi Yisrael. For the next hour, he sat with the innkeeper, patiently instructing him on the proper use of the prayer book. On small slips of paper, Rabbi Yisrael wrote out in simple Yiddish, morning prayers, special edition for Monday and Thursdays, grace after meals, afternoon prayers, evening prayers, for Shabbos, for Rosh Hashanah, and so on, and inserted them to mark the proper place in the innkeeper's prayer book. Thank you so much, said the innkeeper, when Rabbi Yisrael took leave to resume his journey. Now I can begin to pray like a proper Jew. But the innkeeper's joy was short-lived. Later that day, the prayer book fell from its shelf, and every last slip of paper inserted by the Baal Shem Tov fluttered from its pages. Woe is me, cried the innkeeper. Who knows how many months will pass before another learned person will again come this way? Determined not to let this opportunity to begin praying properly escape him, he grabbed the prayer book and the notes and ran off in the direction that his guest had gone. After several miles of brisk walking, he finally sighted the Baal Shem Tov far ahead. From the distance, he saw Rabbi Yisrael reach a river. How will he cross? Wondered the innkeeper. This time of year, the water is too deep and swift to ford. He was about to shout a warning when he saw Rabbi Yisrael spread his handkerchief on the water, step onto it as if it were the sturdiest of rafts, glide smoothly across, and disappear into the woods on the opposite bank. In a flash, the innkeeper was at the water's edge. Spreading his handkerchief on the water, he stepped onto it and glided across and ran down the path Rabbi Yisrael had taken. Wait, Rabbi, he called. Wait! You cannot go until you mark my prayer book again. All your notes have fallen out. Hearing the man calling out to him, Rabbi Yisrael stopped and turned to see his recent host running toward him. clutching his prayer book in one hand and the slips of paper in the other. "How did you get here?" asked Rabbi Yisrael in amazement. "How did you cross the river?" "With my handkerchief, same as you," replied the simple person. "By the way, that's some trick you've got there. I never would have thought it could be done this way." "I think," said the Baal Shem Tov slowly, "that Hashem is extremely satisfied with your prayers as they are. Perhaps you should continue to pray just the way you have been up to now." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we put the wraps on our final show of our first year, I'd like to remind you of some events around the community. Rich Walters at Roland Restaurant, 9:30 a.m. on Monday morning, 7:30 p.m. Monday evening. How an Ordinary Jew Can Be a Superstar. The Mikey Butler Foundation, free lecture, Tuesday, January 31st, Ethical Challenges of Organ Transplantation. Worldwide Rap and Ben Yehuda Street Fair, Beth Shalom Synagogue, February 5th. And the Judaic Library at Lubavitch Center, open to the public, Sundays 12 to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays 3 to 4 and 7 to 8, and after Shabbos, 1 hour. The Mystic's Guide to the Bible Course, 8 p.m. at the Agency for Jewish Learning. Call Akolo for more information, 412-420-0220. Alvin Weinberg Father and Son Learning Program, Pittsburgh Kolo this Shabbos, 7:30 p.m. Moved up a little bit. Shabbos is getting done later. And the Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, Aleph Institute, every Sunday evening, 7 to 8:30. Call Lonet, 412-422-2224. Also, March 6th and 7th, the Yeshiva Girls High School production of Sholem Song, an inspiring story. For ticket information, give them a call at 412-422-7300, extension 1311. And if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs in our program, don't forget, you can give us a call at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And as we put the wraps on the program, I just want to be sure to thank again Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Schulman, Chef Chaim Reisner, Ms. Deborah DeLin, and our engineer Jeremy Bossy for another outstanding show. Also want to thank Victor Mordechai for being with us and sharing with us his view of Islamists and where they're going with that program. Don't forget, candlelighting time is no later than 5:14 p.m. Until our anniversary show next week, I'm Hirsch DeLin. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Boachem LeShalom. Malachi Yashalom. Malachi Elyon. Malachi Elyon. Shabbat Shalom.